You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Give credit to whom credit is due. It's one of the hardest things in the world to do.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, you made the world and you keep it going. Keep us going with faith in you and love toward one another. You are a God of power and you show your love in Jesus Christ, forgiving our sins for his sake and giving us life by faith in him. You are God and we are men. Bless us as only you can with peace, your peace. In the name of Jesus, who is our peace. Amen. St. Paul said, give credit to whom credit is due. It's one of the hardest things in the world to do. Either people hog for themselves all the credit which really belongs to someone else, or they give all the credit to someone else when obviously some of it belongs to them for what they have done. St. Paul said, give credit to whom credit is due. I don't know of anyone who's being robbed of so much credit as God. For some reason, that seems to be a part of the nature of people. They don't want to give credit to God. Or they give credit to him in such a way that you know they are really bragging about themselves. Because they are so good. God did this wonderful thing for them. What our world needs today is not just a recognition that God exists, or a repetition of meaningless platitudes about him, but some pure worship of the living God that simply gives him the credit that is due him. It takes a real man to give credit where credit is due. It takes a real man to give God the credit that is due him, to offer him the pure worship of the heart without trying to pat oneself on the back. Pure worship is what I find in Psalm 29. Which is not nearly as familiar as some of the other psalms. Praise the Lord, O you gods. Praise his glorious power. Praise the Lord's glorious name. Bow down before the Holy One when he appears. The Lord's voice is heard on the seas. The glorious God thunders and his voice echoes over the ocean. The Lord's voice is heard in all its might and majesty. The Lord's voice breaks the cedars, even the cedars of Lebanon. He causes the mountains of Lebanon to jump like calves and Mount Hermon to leap like a young bull. The Lord's voice makes the lightning flash. His voice makes the desert shake. He shakes the desert of Kadesh. The Lord's voice makes the deer give birth and leaves the trees stripped bare, while in his temple all shout, glory to God. The Lord rules over the deep waters. He rules as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people and blesses them with peace. Obviously, these lines were written by a man with faith. He had faith in God. You didn't have to prove to him the existence of God. Why waste time proving to anyone what he already knows? God is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The real questions people are asking today are, what about God? What is he like? Why, he's God, of course. Give him the credit due the living God. As you give honor to whom honor is due here on earth, why not give honor to the great God who created, maintains, and sustains the world he has made? Criticism comes a lot more easily to all of us than praise. It doesn't take any training, any particular skill, any special education, or any other qualifications to be critical. That comes quite naturally to almost all of us. Go to any sports event and you'll find right away how easily people rise up to criticize. They criticize the umpire or referee. They criticize the players on the field. They criticize even the playing surface when somebody makes an error. And they even criticize the weather as not being appropriate to the occasion. Whenever the rights of people are mentioned, it's usually the right to criticize that pops up first. Employees criticize their employers. And employers criticize their employees. Students criticize their teachers. And teachers criticize their students. Church members criticize their pastors. And pastors criticize their members. How often don't you hear someone asking the question, why don't they do things differently? People like to play God. It pleases them to think that everybody else is wrong and they are right. Playing God does not stop with criticizing other people. It goes right on to criticize God. Wouldn't this world be a much better place to live in if God would do things differently? If only he would listen to us. If we had been present at the creation, we would have done things differently. Why doesn't God do things differently in the world today? Why doesn't he do something about all the troubles in the world? How can crime and violence exist when God is around? Why doesn't God do what I tell him when I pray? If criticism of the world were to be matched with its praise, the accounts would be very seriously out of balance. All of this is very human, of course. Let's be honest about that. Criticism is not out of place when criticism is necessary. In a world of sin like ours, there has to be criticism. Offered in the right spirit, criticism can be a very good thing. It can also be a very destructive thing when the spirit behind it is to destroy rather than to build up. It can keep people from being thankful where they ought to be thankful. It can cause them to overlook the good and to see only the bad. How easy it is to look up into the sky and not see the beauty of the stars, to accept the energy that comes from the sun and complain about its heat. It's easy to miss the forest for the trees, to be so preoccupied with the minutiae of life as not to receive the great blessings of life with thanksgiving. As the psalmist said, let's give credit where credit is due. God is alive and he deserves our praise. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't his way of doing things great? Isn't he right on target? The Lord's voice is heard on the seas, the glorious God thunders, and his voice echoes over the oceans. The Lord's voice is heard in all its might and majesty. What you hear in this note of praise is very human, but it is not filled with the stuff of which human life is usually made, and that is human pride. That's why it sounds so strange to so many people. It offends their pride to give praise to anyone, to give credit where credit is due. The pastor was telling me about a young man who had come to be very proud of the fact that he was always on time for work. One night, just before he left the office, he left a note on the wall for other workers to see in the morning. The note read, "Good morning, you are late again." What the young man had not noticed was that he had misspelled the word morning. He spelled it M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Good morning indeed. A few days later, another one of the employees in that office sent this note to him in somewhat poetic form. Thank you for your funny sign. I thought it was just great. But I will have you know, young man, I'm very rarely late. It seems to me a college boy who learned his lessons well could count among his attributes the ability to spell. Write no more of these misspelled signs. I give you this fair warning. Remember, to your dying day, there is no you in mourning. Criticism breeds criticism. The bitterer the criticism, the bitterer the reaction is likely to be. That's human. Somebody in that office had a sense of humor, which means that he saw the humanity of the whole business. He made his point, but he did it with a generous humanity that took the sting out of the criticism. We need to see our humanity as it really is. The pretensions of humanity can be regarded only with humor. In fact, that is the essence of humor, to see the pretensions of humanity for what they are. People who have no sense of humor have lost a great deal of their humanity. A very human man looked at God and saw him for what he is. He looked at himself and saw himself for what he was. With that great look, he let go. The Lord's voice breaks the cedars, even the cedars of Lebanon. He causes the mountains of Lebanon to jump like calves and Mount Hermon to leap like a young bull. That's a very human way of putting things. It tells the story with a sense of humor. Somebody has remarked that God must have had a good time creating the world, otherwise he would not have made kittens. Our cat here at home is about 10 years old, but she's still a kitten at heart. She still pursues her tail. Every time she does it, I'm reminded of the wonderful creativity of God. The Lord is a God of power. The Lord's voice makes the lightning flash. His voice makes the desert shake. He shakes the desert of Kadesh. The Lord's voice makes the deer give birth and leaves the trees stripped bare, while in his temple all shout, "Glory to God." We can launch rocket ships that land on the moon. We can produce clothing that enables men to walk around on the moon, even though there's no atmosphere on the moon, and then to come back alive. None of this could have taken place without the power of God. Those inflexible laws of the universe which make all of this possible are a product of his mind and a gift of his hand. You know it and I know it. A notable public figure commented on that event of landing on the moon that it was the greatest event that had taken place until that time in the history of the world. Now that statement is sheer poppycock. God does bigger things every day of the week. A tomato plant grows in your garden, or flowers bloom in the pot on your windowsill. He has the power to destroy and the power to make alive. He is the Lord. You gods, you people who are idolized by other people, who trade on their gullibility, praise the Lord. Praise his glory and power. Praise the Lord's glorious name. Bow down before the Holy One when he appears. God does appear. He's not far off there somewhere. In all his power and glory, he appears. It isn't only in the crashing of the thunder and the thrashing of the forest that he appears. He appears to bless his people. He loves and he cares. He wants us to know who he is and how he feels toward us. He appears. The greatest event in history, without a shadow of a doubt, is the coming of Jesus Christ. It didn't look like the greatest event in history when it happened, but everybody today knows it is. Nothing in all of history has so influenced all of history as has the coming of Jesus Christ. Whether we like it or not, whether we recognize it or not, that's the beginning of a new time. It isn't just that we reckon our time from that event. It's the beginning of a new time. The Holy One of Israel appeared in his son, Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. That's the way his story begins. This is the history of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. It's a very human story. It's about a man, a real man. The good news of the gospel is that God became man in Jesus Christ. Those are very simple words, but they tell of the greatest and profoundest thing that ever happened in the history of the world. God became man in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, you gods. Praise his glory and power. Praise the Lord's glorious name and bow down before the Holy One when he appears. Give credit where credit is due. He is God, and we are men. For us men and for our salvation, Jesus Christ was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. That was not our idea. It's his. Let's give credit where credit is due. Jesus Christ lived that great life of his, and he died that terrible death of his. There was nothing fancy or frilly about it. He died the death of a common criminal. He was condemned to death. He was executed. All for us and for our salvation. In Jesus Christ, God himself acted to atone for the sins of the world. In Jesus Christ, God forgives the sins of the world. In Jesus Christ, God forgives your sins and mine. Now you take that forgiveness of his in Jesus Christ and have life. It's the life of God's Son. Not only crucified, but raised from the dead. He's alive and God is alive. Let's give credit where credit is due. The Lord rules over the deep waters. He rules as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people, and he blesses them with peace. God is alive and very much with it, as the young people say. He's alive and active. His spirit fills the world, and he gives strength to his people who put their confidence in him. He blesses them with the thing they most desire, peace. God is not like a medicine to be put on the shelf until you need it. He can't be treated like a repairman whom you call in when the machinery breaks down. He's not like a mechanic whom you seek out when the car won't run. He's with it all the time. And you'd better get with it, too, all the time. Give credit to whom credit is due. Wherever you look, there he is. There's nothing like his blessing. There's nothing he would rather do than to bless you. Look up, my friend, and see the living God. Lift up your heart and live. Lift up your eyes and rejoice. Lift up your voice and praise him. The God who shakes the world will renew you. He shakes you to awake you to his glory. Praise him, my friend. Praise him and bow down before him when he appears. Amen.